You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, social media is giving your preteen daughter all kinds of anxiety and a ton of mixed messages about sex. Who is this guy, Ultron, and why do the Avengers care? Manny the movie guy knows. And tonight, the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, and Dave Lazo from Bleacher Report gives you a preview. Let's meet the friends. She's a survivor. She's not gonna give up. It's Aaron Myers.
No, I'm not going to, and either are people in Nepal 5 days after the deadly earthquake. They are still finding miracle survivors. I will tell you about the latest, and there is a California tie.
Oh, really? And Is there a draft in the studio? Chris Martin just flew in.
The NFL draft starts tonight, and there is only one thing all the analysts can agree on. I'll tell you what it is coming up.
All right, very good. If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments and they notice your 5-star reviews. So thank you for doing that.
And if you watch it on the live video feed, you'll be pleased to see that Phil is looking dapper in his ironed up button down shirt today.
Wow. Yeah, I don't normally.
Quite nice.
Nice Anaheim Ducks orange tie.
Yeah, I don't normally dress up for the show. Maybe I should.
Yeah, normally you're very dressed down.
Give you guys some respect, right?
It pumps you up when you're dressed nice, as I'm sitting here in workout clothes.
Well, the references to ducks and all of that, I mean, that's exactly why. Because from here, I am going directly to Honda Center for game one of that series. It's no secret I'm the public address announcer for the Anaheim Ducks. Is it a secret? It's not a secret.
No.
So I have to be there. Call time is shortly after this program ends. So got to go get over there. Game one of round two against Calgary and the Flames.
7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, right?
Yeah. You ever see that band?
The Flames.
Calgary and the Flames. Yeah. It's a pretty good band.
But it's always a big game, right? Game one is the tempo setter for the series.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we'll see. I mean, the Flames are one of those teams that could come in and shock the Ducks, or the Ducks could just lay the gauntlet down and say, dude, you're playing the Ducks. So we'll see how that happens.
It is kind of funny, though, Flames and Ducks.
Yeah. It's real easy. So I hear the Orange County Fire Marshal is going to be on hand today, and I don't know if he's got a fire hose with him or what.
To what? Put out the flames?
Perhaps, yes.
Oh.
Perhaps. And again, just
help.
A reminder, if you're waiting for Dave Lazo from Bleacher Report to come on, he's the NHL lead writer for Bleacher Report, and he's got some thoughts. And I think he's from Washington, D.C., too, so he might be Capitals-centric. That'll be interesting to see what he feels. Capitals just squeaked out a 7-game round against the Islanders.
Right. They won in game 7.
Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. And will be interesting to hear your questions as well. You can leave a voicemail question for free on the website. Just click on the blue tab on the right side of the website. And you can do this on your smartphone, too, if you're looking at the full site or the desktop version of the site. Just click on it. But it's better on your computer, provided you have a microphone hooked up. Totally free. Your email is optional, whatever. Just click it, record it, and send it, and then we get it, and we may play it for Dave when he comes on the air. Or just get on the Twitter and use the hashtag AskFaf. Ask Faf, you know, PHAF, like Phil Hewlett and Friends. Ask Faf. Use that hashtag.
Faf.
Yeah. Faf. All right, enough of that. Why don't we get started, Aaron?
Okay.
We've got a lot to cover today, and any time there are these devastating earthquakes, days go by, sometimes weeks go by, and they find people alive. It's a miracle, and this is happening in Nepal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I guess today, and with the help of Los Angeles firefighters who are over there, they found a 15-year-old boy in a hotel in Kathmandu, and they pulled him out, and he is actually doing very well. No serious injuries, and he said he survived on butter.
Butter?
Butter.
Where'd he get the butter?
It was in a bottle near him, and so he was just kind of eating that as he lay there, and he did say he talked to two other kids that he thought were younger than him, and the last time he heard from them was early this morning, so I think they are looking for those children as well. And there was another girl who was taken out of somewhere too, who was 20-something, and she survived today as well. And another thing was, I'm just seeing it today, even though it happened 22 hours after the earthquake, a little four-month-old baby was buried in rubble in that family's house, and that baby survived as well.
Wow. And again, did you say, if I might have missed it, how many days has it been since
the
earthquake? 5 days.
5 days. So
yeah. And imagine
that. Pretty amazing. And they do think that they can still find survivors anywhere up to 9 days if people really, you know, hang on.
Yeah.
But it's
well,
hard.
The key is getting some kind of fluid in your body,
yes.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's the key. And relaxing, because if you're totally panicked, that'll kill you quicker.
Probably.
But if you're relaxed somehow, I mean, these people, they're going to be injured, or perhaps they're just in a pocket and they're safe and there's no way out, so they have a better chance.
You have to figure that that's the circumstance. If they're finding survivors, it's because they're not necessarily trapped under rubble, but they have some sort of pocket that's developed around
sure,
them while they're
yeah.
down there.
Mm-hmm. But the other thing, too, Chris, is that maybe they do get injured. A leg or something is pinned under some rock, and they go into some kind of shock, and that buys them a bunch of time while they're in that state of shock. That they're not really reacting necessarily. The body shuts down to a degree.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, you'd think kids would panic very quickly, but you know, this kid came out 15 and pretty with it.
How about that?
So it's
good.
Amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll run for president of Nepal. Do they have presidents there? Don't know. I'll have to double check. All right. On to other news now. And this is, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this. All the changes going on at McDonald's. I mean, you just want it to stay the same. I mean, usually I welcome change. I welcome progress and all of that. But somehow, some way, the changes at McDonald's are making me feel uncomfortable.
Well, they keep changing things a lot, and they're getting rid of a lot of items. You know, earlier this year, they cut 8 menu items. Well, now they are going to cut 9 sandwiches, I guess.
Nine? Do they have 9 sandwiches to start with?
Apparently, they do. And it's one of them is the Deluxe Quarter Pounder Burger. They got rid of 6 chicken sandwiches and some of their snack wraps. And what they are going to do is start doing this Create Your Taste program that lets you customize your burger with fewer options. And they have things like guacamole and hot jalapeno and bacon clubhouse type things.
And so, they charge you a couple of cents for each one of those add-ons. Is that how that works?
You know, it doesn't say.
They've got to, right, Chris? Don't you think? You want guac, they're going to charge you an extra 50
well,
cents.
Considering it's Chicago Man, actually, I'm looking at this right here. He created a $900 burger.
He did?
Yes.
$900?
Yes. So you can create a very fancy burger. It's like a foot and a half in size.
Oh, man. All right. Well, now we're talking fun.
Yes. But $900 for a burger is a little ridiculous.
But you know what? Are they trying now not to compete with the Burger Kings and the Jack in the Boxes and the Carl's Juniors of the world, and going more after the Five Guys and the Habits out there, where
it's
a little more of a gourmet burger and you build your own, right?
That does seem like
it's what they're going for. It's the beginning of the end for McDonald's. Mark my words.
I think so,
and it has been for a little while with all of the other changes that we've been talking about.
I mean, look,
and hearing about.
You go with what you know, and the best examples are White Castle and In-N-Out Burger, right? And they've been doing basically the same thing without any variation since the dawn of their businesses, and they continue to thrive,
as far as
I know.
Yeah, it does seem like McDonald's start having issues when they start getting a little too big and broad with their products.
Here's where their problem was. They started reacting to the nutrition Nazis.
Be healthy.
Right? And then they started making changes to their kids' meals and their Happy Meals and started offering salads and all of that. Nobody was buying salads, but they still had the expense. It was eaten into their profit and all of that, and it made them weaker. And they're weak in the brain because they're being too reactionary. Just deliver what Ray Kroc came up with back in the day when he bought this hamburger stand.
Yeah, you don't go to McDonald's to be healthy. You don't. I mean, I go there because I like the french fries and to dip them in their ice cream cones. So,
look at you.
You know, I don't go there because I'm going to get a salad.
And by the way, McDonald's, drive by a McDonald's and see if the drive-thru is not packed all the way out to the street and the parking lot is full and has been forever. So why all of a sudden jump to all these weird changes, which just puts a bad light on you in the media. This all goes back to Morgan Spurlock, by the way.
Yeah.
Supersize me. I'm sure that the CEO of McDonald's still hates that guy.
I'm sure he does.
But you don't eat McDonald's every day.
But if I were the CEO, I'd invite him over and offer him a free meal.
Mm-hmm. And then choke him out and stick him in the closet.
Like, where did he go?
Right, okay. Speaking of choking out, I wonder which NFL teams and which NFL hopeful players are going to choke when the draft happens. And Chris, you have a little preview for us and some related NFL news, but that's coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
How do you stop a killer who won't stay dead? When you mix high-tech medical science with a psychotic killer, you get Immortal Fear, a medical thriller by H.S. Clark. This book has been described as heart-pounding, captivating, provocative, a modern high-tech version of Frankenstein that explores the line between life and death. Full over-the-top action and adventure with vivid storytelling, Immortal Fear is a fast-paced page-turner. I love thrillers, and this book was amazing. I could not put it down, and neither will you. It is riveting, completely engaging, and will have you on the edge of your seat. This is from the best-selling Dr. Paul Power series, which is top-rated on Amazon and is highly recommended for anyone who likes mysteries and thrillers. This is a clever whodunit that is brilliantly written. The ebook is available at Amazon. Immortal Fear, Immortal, a medical thriller by H.S. Clark.
All right, thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and friends. Have a hashtag today, AskFaf. Hashtag AskFaf, P-H-A-F, like Phil Hewlett and friends, if you want to ask questions while the show is in progress. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast version and you'd like to figure out how to listen live in the future, you can do that. Just go to the How to Listen page at Phil Hewlett and Friends. Can it get any easier? I don't think so. Well, that's because we're easy. Speak for yourself, Aaron Myers and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. And Chris, it's NFL draft time. When is the draft exactly?
Tonight.
It is tonight.
Tonight. Tonight it marks the beginning of the event where college football athletes sit and wait patiently for all of their wildest dreams to come true.
Yes, like money.
They can hear the sound of the backup alarm from the Brinks truck that will be backed into their driveway and change their and their family's lives.
Exactly, yep.
Football fans, on the other hand, will either be stoked or completely outraged. You can usually hear the noise inside the auditorium. Yes, or they'll boo, you know. They will just straight up boo your team.
Where's the decorum? Come on.
There's no decorum in football drafts.
We're talking about football fans, Phil.
All right.
That doesn't mix with decorum.
Oh, I have something about football fans in a moment when you're done here. So go ahead. What else?
Yeah.
What's going on with the draft?
So most teams are keeping their picks close to the vest, so it's hard for these analysts to try to figure out who's going where. But there's one thing that all of the analysts can agree on, and that's that famous Jameis Winston will go number one to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He'll go down there with Lovie Smith and try to turn that organization around.
Yeah.
They just were dominated last season with a terrible record. And then, you know, of course, everybody thinks that Marcus Mariota could go number two to the Tennessee Titans, but it's up in the air. The Tennessee Titans have all kinds of leverage having that second pick, and they might throw in some crazy trades at the last moment and get something else instead of him. Pass him along to the next team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? Fine. If the teams can afford it, and sometimes these owners, they've got so much money, and the management of these teams, they have so much money that they say ceiling cap, be damned. And they just get the players and they just pack up their team, and those are the teams that end up winning, generally speaking, right?
If you turn it into a winning organization, those decisions pay for themselves. If not, you become a laughing stock for years to come.
Yeah, yeah.
But speaking of money
in
football, an interesting side story in the NFL. The NFL has decided to voluntarily give up their tax-exempt status. Did you know the NFL was tax-exempt?
Yes, it's
like a church.
It's a church, yeah, it's exactly. Yes. People go to the football games to worship.
They do.
It is every Sunday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, the NFL has been tax-exempt since the 1940s in their early inception.
I did not know that.
And usually Congress members would take this on as a talking point to sort of criticize the NFL and call for change and make sure that they change to paying taxes. And the NFL decided to head that off. Roger Goodell said, forget it. We don't want to deal with this heartache anymore. Yep. We'll do it ourselves. They are a $10 billion industry, the NFL, $10 billion in annual sales.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's not bad at all. However, opposers are saying that this is really just a PR stunt because tax revenue that the NFL is going to give up is only a tiny bit of how much money they actually receive in their antitrust exemption, which allows them to sort of congregate and really bully broadcasting givers.
Outlets.
That's a better word for it.
Sure.
For how much money that they're going to pay or receive in order to give them their product.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other interesting side notes is this becoming tax exempt or no longer tax exempt, now allows the NFL to not have to issue management salaries publicly.
They don't have to disclose it?
They don't have to disclose it publicly anymore. Roger Goodell, for example, made $35 million in 2013.
That's it?
So now he doesn't have
$44 million in 2014 and will no longer have to disclose. What is that? $35 million to $44 million. That's
a
$9 million
yeah.
jump in 1 year.
I bet it's going to go up a lot more now, and we'll
never
know.
Pretty good raise. Pretty good raise right there.
Not bad.
Okay. All right,
getting
fine.
Into football.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing NFL fans are not all that great at spelling and grammar.
Really?
Not all of them. But do you have an idea which NFL team fans are the worst at spelling and grammar?
Cleveland. I don't want to pick on anybody, but Jacksonville.
Well, let's see. Let's find Cleveland on the list. The Cleveland Browns, right? Not in the top 15.
New Orleans.
And by the way, this is mistakes per 100 words.
How did they test this?
The Cleveland Browns are number 24. 5.9 mistakes per 100 words. Okay. And the grammar. This is...
spelling?
The source, Grammarly, came up with this. No, spelling and grammatical errors. And number 10 team, I'll just give you the top 10. Top 10. Number 10 with 8 mistakes per 100 words is fans of the Atlanta Falcons. 10.6 words per 100 are fans of the Cardinals. All right. Then we go to 11.2, the Titans. That's Tennessee, is it not?
Over there in Tennessee.
I was actually going to say Tennessee.
That
I don't
Nashville
know why.
Nashville area.
Yeah, all right. 11.4 words per 100. We have the Minnesota Vikings fans. Now 11.5, inching up the ladder here. We go to Tampa Bay for the Buccaneers. 11.5 as well, but maybe 11.5, 3, 2, 7, 9, 6.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Fans of the Rams, St. Louis. Okay.
That'll change when they get to L.A. They'll shoot right to the top of the list.
I don't know if this is surprising or not, but at the next, number 4 with 11.6 out of 100, fans of the Patriots. Now, in New England, are they not getting a good education out there?
It's Tom Brady. He dumbs them down.
Does
I'm telling
he?
You.
It's
okay.
a dialectual.
I blame it on him.
It's a dialect thing.
Yeah. All right.
But we could say that with a lot of places, the accent or the dialect.
Yeah. And it's hard to make any kind of a conclusion about people's education, really, regionally.
My dad is very smart, and he is the worst speller you'll ever meet.
Well, you know, there's
He's
that.
Horrible.
I'm not a great speller myself.
Yeah. Horrible.
11.9 per 100 is the fans of the Dolphins, Miami. Then we go to 12.4 per 100. The New Orleans Saints fans.
See?
They're in NOLA. And with 16.5 words per 100.
That was a pretty big jump.
16.5 mistakes per 100 words. Fans of the Washington Redskins.
What?
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
It's all them politicians.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It's all those bureaucrats. You know?
Using those fancy words.
That's right.
And then misspelling them.
They got people to write stuff for them, and those people can't afford the tickets to see the Redskins.
Florida with 2 in the top 10,
yeah,
by the way.
Right.
Good. Figured they'd have 3 with Jacksonville up there somewhere. But.
You want to know which team is the best?
Yeah.
Which fans?
Who are,
of course,
who
we already
the
know.
Smartest.
It's the San Diego Chargers.
No, 4.2 words out of 100. Detroit Lions.
That's awesome.
Is it?
It is awesome.
Detroit
gets a lot of flack.
Documented in the news, worst public education in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they get a lot of flack for everything there. Wow.
And out of football fans, they have the best grammar and spelling.
That's
How about
awesome.
That?
I like yep. that.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a lie somewhere in there, but I like it.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Now, we were talking about Florida there, two Florida teams in the top, and Florida hasn't been in our silly news in the last couple of weeks.
It's kind of depressing.
No, our news isn't silly. It's stuff. It's real stuff. We don't make
it's
this
legit.
Up. We do not make it up, but it's stories that you didn't know about, and here's another one. And I hadn't heard about this new street drug. What's it called?
Flacca.
Flacca?
Flacca.
What's that do to you?
Well, apparently it makes you crazy.
Yeah?
Apparently, recently they've been having all these crazy crimes in Florida, such as a man running naked through a neighborhood, trying to hump a tree, and then he told police he thought he was a mythical god.
Yeah.
And then another guy ran down a busy street saying a pack of German shepherds was chasing him.
Wow.
So this flacca is very cheap, like $5 or less for a vial, and it pretty much makes people at first feel like they're stronger, they have heightened awareness, and then all of a sudden, paranoia sets in, and they go crazy.
Yeah.
And they've caught people like trying to break into police stations. They were so scared. They're like, they're coming to get me, they're coming to get me. And they've like climbed fences and gotten impaled on police fences
oh my
because
gosh.
It's that bad. So they're taking a look at
that. I wonder
if
they're feeling it. Are they feeling any pain when they're on the flaca?
Probably not as much as they would, it doesn't look like. Mm-hmm. But apparently it's going up in increased use there. So they're taking a look at it because people are going a little nutty on flaca.
Yeah, all right. You know what else people are nutty about? Big pay-per-view this Saturday. Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Who are we talking about?
Not just big. It's the biggest
ever.
Pay-per-view.
Biggest ever?
Wow.
Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yeah.
Happens this Saturday over at the MGM Grand. It's the fight of the century. And it is literally set to break every boxing financial record in the history of the sport.
Wow.
It will happen.
Yeah.
It's going to have the highest gate receipts, sponsorships, pay-per-view buys, pay-per-view revenue, boxing purses, and total revenue. Both boxers will be the first to pass the $1 billion mark in career pay-per-view revenue over the career of their historic boxing matches. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Oscar De La Hoya versus Floyd Mayweather was a previous record holder that will be broken. And Mike Tyson still holds the 3, 4, and 5 spots for pay-per-view records.
My goodness. Imagine if we had today's pay-per-view technology and economy, if we had Muhammad Ali and Foreman or Ali and Fraser, right? I mean, how much money they would bring in?
Probably as much as Pacquiao and Mayweather, I would imagine.
Can you even spell Pacquiao?
I can. I had to write it down.
I know there's a C and a Q in there, but I get lost after that.
I just call him Manny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Manny... Really, there's only one movie debuting this weekend. Do you know what it is? Manny the Movie Guy does, and I'm pretty sure he's seen it already, and he's got a pretty tough opinion about it. He joins us next, right here, on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, here we go. It's time to talk some movies, find out what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex, and when you go to Palm Springs, California, you're encouraged by the tourist board there to take the aerial tramway all the way up the mountain. Do you know why? It's because perched high atop that mountain in a palatial compound overlooking the entire Coachella Valley is KMIR-TV movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. Like an American eagle.
Yes. Perched high atop.
That's red, white, and blue.
There you go. Love it. We were just talking about Manny Pacquiao. Now we have Manny the Movie Guy. And
Manny.
I know what you'll be doing Saturday.
That's right.
Rooting for your homeboy.
Maybe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're going to bet against Pacquiao?
I kind of want to.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're making the smart decision, Manny. Now, it should be a good fight, but definitely Mayweather's
all right,
got the
upper hand.
The fight of the century, y'all.
That's right, y'all. Okay, look at you. And we're looking at the offerings at the theater this weekend. And there's only one movie in wide release. Nothing else new is on more than maybe 5 screens nationwide, and that one... that one wide-release movie is, Manny, what is it?
That's right, unless you're living under a rock for the last 2 weeks. The one movie this weekend is, of course, Avengers Age of Ultron. Are you excited to see the film?
I am excited, too, because I don't know who Ultron is. Who's this Ultron guy?
Well, let me tell you, Ultron, the whole crux of the film, the whole crux of the story is the question, what if your own creation becomes your worst enemy? You see, Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, builds the Ultron Global Defense Program. But then, the sentient Ultron decides humanity must be eradicated to save Earth. Now our Avengers must try to stop him before he evolves. So that is Ultron, and it's voiced capably and wonderfully by James Spader.
Oh, love the Blacklist.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yes.
Yeah.
So he inhabits the persona of Ultron, even with just a voice work. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem, though. See, I loved the first Avengers. It was one of my favorite films in 2012. This new one, it's an action-packed spectacle that is maybe just a tad too much.
Huh?
Diehard fans will still enjoy it, but I don't think that's enough. In painting the Marvel Cinematic Universe, writer-director, and I love him, Joss Whedon, crams many plot lines and characters that some are left underdeveloped. Now, here's what I found out, though. The original cut of the sequel is rumored to be 3.5 hours long, but it's now whittled down to 142 minutes. So that explains why some subplots and characters feel undercooked, like the new characters, the twins, Wanda and Peter. Pietro Maximoff, played by Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson, respectively, and their Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, respectively. There's a twist near the end involving one of the twins that's wasted because of poor character development, and you will know what I'm talking about when you see the film.
Did they cut out the scene where they have a potluck and Wanda and Pietro show up with a bad chicken salad?
Yes, that will be on the Blu-ray release.
Yeah, all right. Now, is this, regardless of the downside to the review here, is this movie, Avengers Age of Ultron, going to be the biggest box office draw of this year?
It will be the biggest box office draw this year, much like what Avengers, the first one, is still the record holder of the biggest blockbuster in the world. Here's what I'm telling you. We talked about the bad. There's actually a bunch of goods in the film as well. First of all, the cast is great. You can feel their genuine camaraderie on screen. And Whedon is short of a miracle worker. In less skilled hands, a movie with these many characters could have been an overbloated nightmare. But Whedon is able to give them at least equal time. And I really enjoyed the tender moments between the Hulk and Black Widow. It's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
And so the action scenes, as many as they are still well choreographed. And in the end, Age of Ultron is still good primer for things to come, namely the last two movies of the series, namely Infinity War Part 1 and 2, of course.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? You were talking about the camaraderie between the cast there, and there are all kinds of big names there. Do you think they were all cool with the thought that Robert Downey Jr. was probably making more money than all of them combined?
Probably. I'm sure they're not making, you know, a penny a movie. I mean, they're still making some money. But
they're doing okay.
I was just guessing that Downey Jr. was making the most money out of the group, but he is the top bill, is he not?
Well, yeah, plus he's the first Marvel, really the big Marvel blockbuster this new contemporary part. I mean, Iron Man 1, 2, and 3 combined, still beat Thor 1 and 2 and Captain America 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So, yes. And plus, he's good in the film. But you know what I really love is Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk.
He's awesome.
You feel for him. And I just love him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's very talented. I like him, too.
Yeah, and he's got the hots for Black Widow, huh?
He's got the hots for Black.
Maybe Marvel could go the whole romance thing and put out a series of like
Beauty
a love story.
Beauty and the Beast version of
exactly.
Marvel. That would
this
be cute.
They're all right.
Yeah.
They should do Black Widow, a.k.a. Cinderella, next time.
Well, if you're a fan of the series, there's really nothing you want more than for the Hulk to find a nice girl and settle down.
And have beautiful Hulk-like babies.
Yeah. And then the police will be called over all the time because there'll be all kinds of,
disturbances.
Right.
I'm telling
domestic disturbances.
Yeah. Hey, Manny, can I ask you a question about another release?
Sure.
And I don't know if you're familiar with this one or not, but we were talking a few weeks back about the release of a documentary of Kurt Cobain. It's called A Montage of Heck. Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard a little bit about it. They haven't shown it to critics, wide release critics yet. But yes, I've heard that it's a good thing. It's the one that Courtney Love does not want you to see.
No.
Oh, there you go. I just heard something about the release overseas actually coming in second to the Avengers movie.
Wow.
Which is surprising. I mean, obviously, there's nothing else that's a big blockbuster out, but it had sold enough viewers, enough receipts to come in second to the Avengers, which I thought was impressive.
Yeah, because Nirvana is still a brand. It's still a great brand worldwide.
Yeah. And people loved dogging on Courtney Love, too.
Still, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. She invites it, I think, through her actions. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Go check out the website. He interviews all the celebrities, and they love him, and you can understand why. And Manny, we'll talk to you again next week.
That's right. Next week, it's all about Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara in Pursuit.
Hotties.
I'm interested to hear about
that one. And their lesbian scene. And I asked him about that lesbian scene, by the way, when I interviewed them last weekend.
Good for you, because that's exactly what we were all thinking to ask them about.
That's right.
All right. Manny, thanks, and good luck with your bet against Pac-Man this weekend. Oh.
Right. We'll talk about it next Thursday.
Okay, there he goes, Manny the Movie Guy. All right, very good. Now, we're going to shift gears entirely. What kind of toll is social media taking on young girls? Any idea?
A bad one.
Yeah, probably. Apparently, all the sexualized images are seriously affecting girls. Get this, as young as 11. What can you do about it? A research psychologist who has a handle on this topic and some tips for parents, perhaps you, joins us next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, Speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. We're about half an hour away from talking hockey. Round two of the NHL's Stanley Cup playoffs begins tonight. And we've got Dave Lazo from Bleacher Report. He's their lead NHL writer. He'll join us, give us a preview of the eight teams remaining, the four series, to talk about East and West. But right now, when you're cruising through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and the like, you know, social media, it generally isn't long before you see some kind of sexualized depiction of a woman, whether it's a simple photo of one of today's music pop stars to something more overt. What kind of toll does this take on the mental health of preteen girls? One has to wonder, because, you know, these pictures are all over social media, and the teenage girls are all over social media, right? They've got their accounts. Well, even though you try your best to keep them off of there, they are there one way or another. And joining us live with some help on this and some insight into just how bad it's getting out there is Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. She's a research psychologist and psychoanalyst. Her most recent book, which we've spoken about on this program in the past, is What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of the Professional Woman in a Relationship. And that's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Dr. Birnbaum, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Always great to have you here. What happens to young girls when they see sexualized images of women in social media?
Well, you know, it's been research that these girls, when they look at magazines, when they look at programs, when they look at girls who are anorexic models, they become that way, and they're measured against such odds that it's really self-defeating and, of course, very unhealthy. So the new role model being anorexic is what you see on the streets, and they are really having difficulty now keeping up to it. So these girls become girls who don't eat. They don't even develop naturally the way other girls do because their bodies are lacking in nutrients, so they don't get to mm-hmm. develop and mature in the same way.
So we're talking about the anorexic look, but also there is so much of the, you know, you see the girls who are, they call them Insta-famous, right? They've got all the selfies on Instagram, and a lot of those poses are intended to be sexy or sexualized in one way or another. And the young girls see this as well, and they say, okay, well, see, not only am I supposed to be skinny, but I need to be sexy as well. And this is a lot like peer pressure. It's just on steroids, isn't it?
Well, you know, there's more plastic surgery going on because of this. When you take a selfie, you have a viewpoint that's different than someone who's actually taking a picture of you where you study your pose and you're able to have a certain distance so your nose looks bigger or whatever that is, and they're running to plastic surgeons. And they, I mean, we should invest in our stock on plastic surgery today.
Yeah, I think so. But you'd be complicit if you did that, and if you could sleep well at night knowing that that's the kind of investment you made, then fine.
What can I tell you? Today we'd make all kinds of investments that aren't so great.
Sure.
But, you know, when we talk about this, it's very sad that these girls measure themselves with their looks, with extensions, with their hair, eyelash extensions, breast enhancement. I mean, whatever's out there, you name it, they will do it. They see people on Facebook. They get depressed.
Yeah.
They get depressed because these other people may look better. These other people may have better lives,
mm-hmm.
That there are events going on that they feel they're missing out on. So it's something that is not helping, But there are more people getting off of Facebook and any of these sites where they are feeling discouraged. So if anything, it's taking a toll on the way we are using social media today.
Are social media sites aware of this issue and the fact that there could be a great deal of anxiety put on preteen girls? And if they're aware of it, are they doing anything about it?
Well, they are becoming aware of it, and now they're looking into bullying, and they are really closing sites where people are bullying, and they're finding the other sites to close as well. So they're taking a leading role and making differences. So you're right. They will eventually also take a role in pornography or anything that's not mainstream, anything that is not supported today in a healthy way. So things are changing at this moment.
Yeah, you know, we do know that there are restrictions on pornographic images on Twitter and on Facebook, but not, and to a degree on Instagram, but not so much on Tumblr and a couple
not
of the
enough.
Other popular sites.
Exactly, not enough. These kids send each other pictures that are really something that shouldn't be done. And when they are caught, I mean, there was this one girl in our town who was sending pictures, very provocative pictures of herself, to other people. And then it went into a place where everybody was getting it, mm-hmm. And she was uncomfortable going to school. So it does take a place, a life of its own,
right,
that you really have to be very careful about.
Yeah, and what do you suggest for parents? Because, I mean, how often does this scenario play out where somehow, some way, you get wind that your young daughter, 12 or 13, has been taking selfies of her butt and posting them all over the Internet? I'm just, you know, picking an outlandish example, but that's probably not all that outrageous.
All right, well, yes, I have to get rid of that vision. But you're right, and parents need to monitor their children much closer. And this is extremely important, what I'm going to talk about right now. And that is that when you have a relationship with a child, even if you're talking about nothing, that child develops trust in you. And the most important thing that you need to do is have your child speak to you. Because if they speak about small things, they will also speak about bigger things, more urgencies that you can absolutely make a difference with. And that's where we need to go. We need to be closer to our children. We need to monitor what they are doing. We need to know who their friends are. And we also need to be able to get them off sites that we feel are dangerous or uncomfortable for us. So we need to make those decisions, not our children.
Yeah. All right. And give a good example, too. All right, Mom, stop taking the pictures in the yoga pants and posting those on your Facebook
site. You know,
that
doesn't help either. The way women look today, you know, there are some cities that actually outlaw wearing those pants around town.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're practically naked. It just looks like somebody took an airbrush and painted it on you, right? Isn't
exactly.
that true?
Yeah. And it's not always too complimentary either.
True. Yeah. What in the world are you wearing that for, lady?
Yeah, of all people.
Get some sense.
Like some women who have horrible thick thighs, they're the ones that wear the short skirts.
Uh-oh.
I mean, go figure.
Yeah, all right. Well, there we go. Well, looking at the body image again. We're worried about it.
But
at least we're aware of it. Well, Dr. Frieda.
I was going to say one quick thing.
Yes.
There was a time in a different era where women were more full-bodied. They wore a size 12, Marilyn Monroe, those women. That was a much more natural state. And they looked less like young boys. They looked like women. Women are supposed to have curves.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be fuller body to bear children. And it's a sexual thing to look curvy, if anything.
Yeah.
We need to go back to what it means to look like a woman today and how empowering that is compared to anorexia, you know, a broom with false breasts.
Yeah,
because it's ridiculous. It's really gone too far.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, thank you very much for spending some time with us and giving us some ideas. Her book, again, you should read it. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's on an entirely different topic, but it's a good one. What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of the Professional Woman in a Relationship. All right. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks so much.
All right. So what, Aaron?
Yoga pants are perfectly fine. I'm wearing them right now.
I agree 100%. Yes. I think they're perfectly fine. I think they're fantastic. I think we
mine
should
aren't see-through either.
Set up a new
well,
order.
Well, see, that's the difference, okay? Because the ones I'm talking about are the see-through kind. Mm-hmm. You know that. You knew that as soon as I said it.
Well, there's
yes,
really, there's barely any difference between, if we're going to talk about what could be obscene in public for women to wear, yoga pants are at the top of the list. If you want to take that road of, hey, this is sexually provocative.
Well, the next
yoga pants are sexually provocative.
They are
really?
Skin tight, Aaron. Yeah,
the
you can't not notice.
Sore skinny jeans, though.
The next step after yoga pants, the see-through kind. The next step after that is a thong.
Yeah,
well,
go to Lake Havasu.
There's
they wear those.
There's
all
nothing.
The time on
there's
the
nothing
boats.
Else. I mean, so in the step toward complete nudity, you have yoga pants, thong, and then skin.
Sure.
Yoga
yeah,
pants
I agree.
Are so not sexy. They're like a comfortable thing you throw
Aaron,
on.
You are not a dude.
I
How
know,
could you possibly
but,
proclaim that? Yoga pants are one of the sexiest things ever created. I'm very happy they were created.
Really?
I think we should have a holiday for the guy
yoga
that
pants?
Created them.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I look at yoga pants. I'm like, I'm gonna go take a nap in my yoga pants.
Then why then are all the photos of the young ladies in yoga pants on Instagram?
Yeah,
all the young
because they're not sexy,
see,
Phil.
I'm
they're
not
sexy.
I'm not seeing
that's
those
why.
Photos. Apparently, I see the ones with like the bathing suits and the crop tops. Those I'm like okay, but yoga pants.
And answer,
I don't know.
Answer me this: why, in almost every case when there's a picture depicting a woman in yoga pants, is she not standing straight up?
Well, because you have to show off the booty. Like, that's probably why.
Which the
like,
yoga pants bone. Which the yoga pants do exceptionally better than any other clothing on the planet.
They show
planet.
Off some other bits, too, when you're not standing up
they
straight.
Literally hug every possible curve that a woman can have to perfection.
Yeah.
To perfection. There is no loose. There's no slack to it whatsoever. And you can say jeans all you want, but
well,
they're
skinny
discolored.
Jeans are the same way, though.
No, they're not
no,
even close.
Not quite. I can't see your follicles
that's
in skinny
40
jeans.
Times thicker fabric than what yoga pants are.
Man, I'm going to start wearing sweats to the gym now.
Well,
now that I know. The real like what people really think of yoga pants. Oh boy.
Well,
I just thought they were comfortable.
Chris is just being honest about what guys
wow.
see, and we thought women were doing it because they understand what guys see.
Wow.
What
they
guys
are, think. Phil. Most of them are,
no.
Phil. I don't know where Aaron's just crawled out from under a rock.
Apparently
no.
so.
Aaron's
jeez.
Aaron is our innocent.
She
and,
is
and
she's
pure,
very innocent.
Pure as the driven snow.
Yeah.
Yoga pants.
Who knew?
Well, now we all do.
Not even gonna try short shorts.
And
why not?
Short shorts that are tight yoga-like shorts?
Sure.
Oh, my God. What,
I haven't,
what
I haven't
those
worn
be?
Mine in a while. Hey, that's
thanks
it for hour one of the show. There's so much more to come, including Dave Lazo from Bleacher Report talking Stanley Cup playoffs. Round two begins tonight, plus all the tech you can gnaw on. And I guess that would make it technology. Jeremy Antecuni joins us live. He's our tech dude. Plus a 300-pound sea lion attacks a fisherman. Thought you should know. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, the Yoga Pants Edition, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, we're going to talk Stanley Cup playoffs at round two. And Dave Lazo from Bleacher Report is going to join us live with his perspective on the teams and the players into this round. If you want to get your questions in, go ahead and use the hashtag on the Twitter, hashtag AskFaf. That's Faf, like PHAF, Phil Hewlett and Friends, AskFaf. And we'll issue your questions over to them. And then five reasons to try Microsoft's new Edge browser, among other exciting items, from our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni, who's going to drive us wild with his stories, coming up in a little bit. Hey, the friends are here, Aaron Myers and Chris Martin. If you missed the first hour of the program, in it you will find out why Aaron Myers has vowed to never wear yoga pants again.
I might burn them all, actually.
You might burn them?
I might. I have a new, found disrespect for yoga pants now that I know what everybody thinks when you wear them.
Found disrespect.
Yep.
All right.
I thought they were just comfortable, but apparently not.
All right. A little radio gold, though, for those of you who missed the... In fact, I might make that whole last segment of the first hour my ringtone. Now, Aaron, while we're talking about the things ladies wear, sometimes the ladies just look a little too sexy, and it makes people nervous. And this dates back to prom night in many cases, doesn't it?
It does, and usually there are lots of prom rules now about what you can and can't wear. So this girl, she's 18, and she went to prom last week in Michigan, and she actually didn't disobey the rules. The rules were like a fingertip, your dress has to be, the slit has to be where your fingertips reach with your arms straight, and then you can't show your midriff, and it said backless dresses are okay. So she wore a dress. It's very cute, blue and white, polka dots, very pinup model kind of thing, and it has an open back. And she got kicked out of prom.
Oh, really?
And yes, and we do have the photo on the website.
Oh, we do? Let me go look.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Wow, that's a high school girl?
She does look a little mature. I think it's the makeup and the hair, very, like I said,
pin-up.
She's
kind of a Sofia Vergara kind of looking young
lady,
isn't she?
She's very pretty, but the problem is you look at a picture down further down on the page, she's there with her friend, and her friend's dress is just as revealing, yet she's the one who gets kicked out of prom. Huh. So it's very strange to me.
She must have been fighting back somehow, too, because it's odd to kick a girl out for a backless dress when you could just put a coat on or put your prom date's coat on and cover it up.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She might have been a rebel rouser.
I agree. I don't think that dress is too sexy. That's actually kind of a nice dress.
Yeah. I guess it was just the vice principal, I was going to say, the VP,
maybe she
told her to leave.
Maybe she's got a mouth on her, and she said something to a teacher or a principal or a guidance counselor on the way in.
Yeah, it's like, hey, listen, that I know we have a policy. It's okay to have a little bit of a back cut out, but you need to cover that up. And it's like, you can't tell me what to wear. This is my dress. Well, I like my back showing.
You guys just said about wearing the guy's coat. He actually, the boyfriend said, hey, can she just put on my coat? And he said, no, she has to wear her own jacket or she has to go home and change.
Oh.
So did ask.
There is a male teacher who sent her away?
It was the vice principal is all it says.
Here's what I'm going to suggest happened. The backstory that we don't know yet, but it'll come out later.
Backstory.
Yeah. There's the backstory to the backless dress is that the, what is he again? The vice principal?
Vice principal.
Yeah. He and this young lady with the beautiful prom dress have a little something going on inside.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
We just went to high school teacher affair thing going on.
I think that's
what's
happening.
Horrible.
That's what's happening. That's why he booted her out of there to cut his losses in the event he did get any on that night.
Doesn't that just inspire her to throw him under the bus
and reveal the scandal? That's why. Yes. Just remember I said it, and I think the scandal's going to come out. Just remember I said so. Now, on to the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. There's another photo of a lady, a black and white photo. It's an Instagram, and the face of the lady is... I can't place it. It's very familiar.
I would go with Bruce Jenner.
You would?
I would.
I don't know that he'd go with you these days.
Well, probably not. Probably not.
No, he would.
No, actually.
He might?
He does he says he likes women.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm confused.
But this is the face of Bruce Jenner on a Diane von Furstenberg, there we go, dress. And she's very well known for her wrap dresses. And I believe this is actually a picture of her. And she took her face off and put his face.
It's a Photoshop.
Yeah, it's a Photoshop.
Oh,
and
okay.
So, she was doing it saying, feel like a woman, wear a dress is kind of the company's the slogan she put on there, and people think that maybe it was a little too much, and I guess Bruce Jenner actually threatened action against her, even though she supposedly said she was trying to support him. But
well,
her dresses are really nice.
He didn't
have a
get
couple.
It. He didn't get it, did he?
No.
Von Furstenberg, those are not cheap dresses.
No, that's why.
And you have a couple?
A couple, but I had to save up for them.
Did you?
Yes.
All right. Good.
Special treat.
All right. You won't stop wearing your Von Furstenbergs because of anything that happened on today's program, will you?
Because, those are pretty sexy dresses.
Oh, they're like yoga pants. No.
No, not quite. Not quite.
No.
You know who might get caught in public in a compromising yoga pants Instagram shot is Scottie Pippen's daughter. The girl gets in trouble a lot, doesn't she?
She does. I guess she's 20 and her name is Sierra. And she just got in trouble for allegedly walking into a hotel and peeing on the lobby floor.
That's ladylike.
Yes, very ladylike. and I guess she had been arrested in the same lobby like a couple weeks before for public intoxication. So it sounds like she's getting in trouble a lot. She goes to the University of Iowa.
Was she intoxicated or does she just have bladder control issues?
Hey, I think that's what you should go for. I just couldn't make it. They can't like make you get in trouble for that.
No.
I would think.
Where's
they have
the bathroom?
To have, yeah, they have to have some sympathy if you're...
Sorry, the facilities are only for our guests.
Yeah, well...
Well, so is your carpet.
Hopefully it was easy tile floor to clean up. Maybe a little mop. Otherwise that she might have a pay for the carpet cleaning.
God, poor Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah. All his NBA money's going to be gone.
Bailing her out.
Exactly. All right. Later in the program, our tech guy, Jeremy's going to be on, and he has an Apple Watch, and he's going to tell us what it's like to wear an Apple Watch. But as far as I know, not a lot of ink on Jeremy. And there's a story out that, Chris, you found this. What's going on with Apple Watches and tattoos?
Well, the Apple Watches don't work so well with people that have tattoos on their wrist or arms.
So they're prejudiced against tattoos.
Is that it, or is there some science behind it?
There's some science behind it. Let me give it to you. The LED lights and sensitive photodiodes in the watch have a hard time calculating blood movement and heartbeats through the ink in the skin if you have tattoos. So this affects the fitness apps, heart rate sensor, things like that. You know, it's trying to figure out exactly how your blood is coursing through your veins and your wrist, and if there's a bunch of ink covering that up, it gives unusual feedback.
Yeah.
It doesn't give you accurate feedback.
Is that why, and maybe you've noticed this too, I've noticed it throughout life, that my friends with tattoos generally don't wear mood rings. And that must be mean that they don't
Your
work.
Friends wear mood rings?
Yeah. Some of my friends wear mood rings.
Why?
Yeah, the fake plastic kind.
Yeah, I know what they are. I just wonder why you have friends that wear them.
No, it's kind of nice to know if somebody's, angry or happy. Or
I always thought it was a girl thing to wear a mood ring.
No.
I always thought it was like a 70s thing.
You don't have a mood ring?
No, I know what a mood ring is, and I've seen one.
All right, guys, time out. I'm being totally facetious, okay?
If I had a mood ring, it would be as big as that championship ring that you're wearing on
this
your finger
Stanley
right now.
That's crazy.
Stanley Cup ring, 07.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't have the kind the players have, but
it's still nice.
Enormous.
By the way, Apple is dealing with one other defective piece. The taptic engine used to provide feedback via vibrations is also giving them trouble. So Apple fans say just give Apple some time. I'm sure they'll fix it all.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. All right. And I can't wait to hear what Jeremy says about the Apple Watch because he's road tested it now. And he'll tell us honestly what's going on. That's coming up a little later. I have a survey here that has a lot of people claiming, yeah, it's absolutely accurate. And it's about the time of day that men and women prefer sex. And it's a study, a survey that asked 2,300 people when they desire for sex, when their desire peaks during the course of the day. Okay. So, men, are you ready for the answers? Because answers are completely opposite. Men
was any.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, men wanted the time of day when men wanted sex was when they looked at their Apple Watch and decided what time it was. No. Men most wanted to have sex or most want to at 7:54 in the morning.
Nah, I do not fall into that category.
7:54 in the morning. See, I'm up and awake and at 'em by then.
How far along in your hairdo are you at 7:54 in the morning?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't take long to do my hair, but I'm already out in the door at 7:54.
Out the door, yeah.
They'd snooze and they'd lose.
Okay, so for women, the peak time that they desire sex is 11:21 at night.
I'm screwed.
No,
not that way.
Yeah,
if you're lucky.
And not that way, because I'm asleep by then and waking out the door.
Well, I think for most guys, we've had a beer and a sandwich by then and we're sleepy.
Wow.
So this is why we're not really in sync, men and women.
Yeah, I don't think that list is in sync. At least it doesn't correlate with this guy.
Where did they find these 2,300 people?
Yeah, even though those are the peaks, by the way, there is a window where both men and women are usually in the mood, and that's between 9 and 11 o'clock at night. And that
sounds about right.
Yeah, after dinner, right?
Yeah, after dinner.
After it digests.
Sure, yeah, there's that, too.
Glass of wine, you mellow down.
Yeah, digest your food, clean up a little bit.
There you go.
Okay, fine, ready to go. Yeah. What was that song, the Jay Giles song, Love Stinks, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, the survey also found that about half of men say their sex drive is pretty constant and doesn't really depend on how they're feeling that day. Only 36% of women agree with that idea. So most of the time, men are up for it. And
girls have to feel like they're
third,
up for it.
A third of the time,
I feel
women
like.
Are up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see the challenges men are under?
Oh.
See the kind of pressure we have to deal with, right? We have a 1 in 3 shot at actually being in sync with our partner.
Yeah, you're talking about later on in a relationship, though, right? I mean, early on, isn't it sort of a free-for-all?
Yeah.
It's like a buffet.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter what time it is, it's always available.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. If you're a hockey fan, it's a buffet right now because round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs kicks off tonight, and we're about to get a preview from the Bleacher Report's NHL lead writer, Dave Lazo. He joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
How do you stop a killer who won't stay dead? When you mix high-tech medical science with a psychotic killer, you get Immortal Fear, a medical thriller by H.S. Clarke. This book has been described as heart-pounding, captivating, provocative, a modern high-tech version of Frankenstein that explores the line between life and death. Full over-the-top action and adventure with vivid storytelling. Immortal Fear is a fast-paced page-turner. I love thrillers, and this book was amazing. I could not put it down, and neither will you. It is riveting, completely engaging, and will have you on the edge of your seat. This is from the best-selling Dr. Paul Power series, which is top-rated on Amazon and is highly recommended for anyone who likes mysteries and thrillers. This is a clever whodunit that is brilliantly written. The ebook is available at Amazon. Immortal Fear, Immortal, a medical thriller by H.S. Clarke.
You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and it's hockey time. That's right. Let's not waste any time. Joining us live is David Lazo. He's the NHL lead writer for Bleacher Report. He joins us. Hey, David. Great time of the year, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's warm outside, and it's cold inside, and I get to watch a hockey game tonight.
Yes, I'm with you. Now, are you in D.C.?
No, I'm in New York. I'm going over to MSG in a little bit.
Okay, good. All right, so let's go through the matchups. 3 out of 4 of the number one seeds remain. Let's start in the East. We have where you're headed to see the New York Rangers, the number one seed, versus the Washington Capitals, number 2. They had some trouble taking care of the Islanders. Talk to me about that matchup.
I think it's a real toss-up, but I think the big issue is Matt Zuccarello is not playing for the Rangers in this series because he probably has a concussion, and it's a really huge loss. It's one of those losses where I'm surprised it's not getting more, I guess, attention nationally in the hockey world because he's their top-line right wing. He's a big part of the power play. He's their best possession forward, so he's going to come out of the lineup, and Marty St. Louis is going to get bumped up from the third line and play in his spot, and he has not been very good this year. So I think that's a huge, huge loss in a series where we got two teams that are really evenly matched and mm-hmm. got two really good goalies. We got two really deep teams at forward, two teams with really good defensemen. So I like the Caps in the series because I think they're just playing better hockey right now. The Rangers did not play all that well against Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh was down a couple of defensemen, and I think that really helped the Rangers in that series. So I think it's going to be a good one, but I think the Caps' physical play is going to take its toll on the Rangers.
Yeah, because they're more of a speed game, and Zuccarello was a big part of that. Well, San Luis has always been a speedster, but perhaps he's past his prime now. He's getting on in age. The other matchup is the number one seed, Montreal, the Habs, against Tampa Bay, which got out by the skin of their teeth in their first round. And so that should be a pretty good matchup, wouldn't you think?
It could be because of Carey Price, but regular season, Tampa went 5-0 against Montreal, and Montreal is just, they're not as deep, they're not as big, they're not as good on the blue line as Tampa is, but they have basically the guy who's had the best goaltending season in the last 15 years in net, and if he's going to stop 40 out of 41 every night, they're going to have a chance, and that's kind of what he's done all season, but Tampa just doesn't really have the experience I would say Montreal has, because, I mean, Montreal got to the conference finals last year, and they might have beaten the Rangers if Carey Price didn't get hurt in game one. So that's one of those series where I like Tampa across the board, but you have to be willing to say that Carey Price has a chance to kind of you look serious here if he's on top of his game.
Well, in hockey, the postseason really is about goaltending first. I mean, everybody looks at that, don't they? And the goaltenders that step up and play out of body between the pipes, those are the teams that prevail.
Right, and usually in the East. I mean, the East isn't as good as the West. So in the East, when you have a bunch of teams that are just kind of so-so, you look back. I mean, last year, Henrik Lundqvist and Carey Price were your conference final goalies. They might be the same two guys this year. And you look at Braden Holtby and Ben Bishop. I mean, Braden Holtby and Ben Bishop are kind of the next generation of goalies. So maybe this is the year they finally step up. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to win the cup unless your goalie is playing, you know, really, really well. Or, you know, last year when the Kings won the cup, you know, John Quick was great for four games against San Jose when they were down 3-0, and he was great in the cup final. But, you know, in the middle there, he really wasn't that great. So it depends on your team. But I think in the East, you really do have to have that great goalie if you want to come out of there.
Right. Now to the West. You mentioned the West. Chicago knocked off the number two in the Central Division. Minnesota dispatched the number one. So a mix-up there. And I don't know. I like the Wild in this matchup. But Chicago seems to have a postseason gear that they always shift into. And it seems like they're in it right now.
Yeah, I mean, if they were going to lose, you're going to lose a series where your number one goalie gets pulled in the first two games and you have to put in a backup who's a six-round pick, but they're just so good. That's the point, too, with the West. If you're the Chicago Blackhawks, you're so good that you don't really need an elite goaltender to get to the cup final or to win a cup. You can have a so-so performance from your goalie because, I mean, their third line is Patrick Sharp on it, for God's sakes. That's how good that team is. You have Timo Tiiminen, who's playing 9 minutes a night as your third defenseman. They just have so much talent there. And Minnesota is just as good. Devan Dubnyk has been fantastic.
Their goalie.
He should have been. I think he should have been maybe a Hart finalist because when he got there, the Wild were a sub-500 team, and now they've been the best team for maybe 3 months in the NHL.
And he's a big dude, too, right?
Yeah, he's one of the taller goalies in the NHL, and this is also his first go-around, too, so who knows how it's going to affect him the deeper he goes in the playoffs, but I think that series is a complete toss-up. I really do, but I just lean on Chicago. They've beaten Minnesota 2 years in a row, or maybe it's 3 years in a row, but they've kind of had their number in the playoffs, too, and Chicago's more experienced, so I think Chicago will figure out a way to win that series.
Gotcha. All right, finally, we move to my team, the top seed in the West, the Anaheim Ducks versus the Calgary Flames. I, you may know this. I'm the public address announcer for the Ducks. I've got my orange tie on right now and my Stanley Cup ring from 07. But this won't be a walk in the park for the Ducks like it was with Winnipeg, and that was a bit surprising as well. I mean, Calgary seems to have a little more to bring to the table.
Calgary is a really bad team. The Ducks are going to win the series in two games, I think.
Two games? You're setting me up for a loss, aren't you?
A sweet talker.
Yeah, wow.
It is such a mismatch. Really, Calgary is the worst playoff team in the last 10 years, and they just happened to get lucky in their first-round matchup because – to me, the 16th best playoff team was Calgary, and 15 was Vancouver, and Vancouver was banged up on the blue line. So it was a really good matchup for Calgary because they had speed. They're a good counterattack team, but Anaheim's bigger. They're not as fast, but they're bigger, they're deeper, they're better on defense. I mean, their defense is so loaded that James Wisniewski is getting healthy trash. So, and the Ducks haven't lost at home to Calgary in like 50 years.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be – it's really tough to pull off back-to-back sweeps, but – I would be surprised if this series went more than five games. I just think Anaheim has a really good matchup here.
And let all the other teams go seven and get beaten up real good. Now, a fan question. Mike Ducks asked this question, and it's worth talking about the Hiller quotient here. Jonas Hiller, who used to be the Ducks goaltender and had some not-so-complimentary parting words for the Anaheim fans when he was traded. There's some animosity there, but the question from Mike is... is there a benefit for the Ducks in that they know Hiller's style because they worked with him for so long?
You know what? I think so. I think it helps. I think if you've shot on a goaltender, you know, thousands of times in practice, I mean, Brian Getzlaf and Corey Perry don't need any sort of extra advantage to score a goal or anything like that. But I think if you're a guy on that team who has shot against Jonas Hiller a lot, I think it is an advantage. And that's really the only way this series is going to go a long way is if Jonas Hiller uses it to his advantage where he says, I know where these guys like to shoot. I know these guys' tendencies. But, again, I just think it's such a mismatch in favor of Anaheim in this series.
Yeah, all right. So at the beginning of the season, I said Ducks and Rangers. You already said that Washington, the Capitals, they're going to take out the Rangers in this round. So who do you think is going to be in the final?
Well, I picked St. Louis to win the Cup, so I'm probably the wrong guy. I think it's going to be here's how I look at it. I think it's going to be between Anaheim and whoever wins the Chicago-Minnesota series. I think Anaheim-Chicago Minnesota are the three best teams, but I think the three best goalies are in the East. So the final should be interesting because it's in a setup where, you know, maybe Price or Lundqvist might steal a series against Anaheim or Chicago or St. Louis. But gun to my head, I think Chicago, even though I don't trust Corey Crawford at all.
Yeah. Dave Lazo, a pleasure to talk with you. Enjoy the game tonight at MSG, and hope to talk to you again. We'll keep reading you at Bleacher Report with all your NHL insights. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, there we go. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk a little tech with Jeremy Antecuni, who has one of those newfangled Apple Watches. He may actually be wearing it now, and he's going to give us his hands-on thoughts about the Apple Watch next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and thank you for listening to us on every possible way that you can. Just try all the players out there. Start with the iTunes, then go to the Stitcher, then the iHeart, then the Spreaker, and just try them all. I found a new one the other day, and I don't even remember what it's called, but it's on the cloud. It's orange something. I posted it to Facebook. Did you see that post? You should try it. It was kind of fun. A cloud player for podcasts. Interesting stuff. Hey, joining us live to talk more tech is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, friends. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, you know what, Jeremy, I've been meaning to ask you, are there any apps there at Apogee that you've had a hand in that we would recognize, or are they mostly industry-specific or specialized?
You know, a lot of the stuff that we do is actually internally supporting the infrastructure, the products that Apogee sells. Our consumers, our customers themselves are Walgreens and Coca-Cola and lots of big-name brands. So you've definitely seen some of the stuff that is powered by Apogee, but we don't actually end up creating those end-user apps that you'd probably be most familiar with.
I got you. So it's a big support deal.
It is.
Everybody needs support. Yeah. You know what? Everybody needs a browser, too, to get on the old internet these days. It's been that way for as long as I could remember. And then a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Microsoft dumping the Internet Explorer. And what are they going to do instead?
Well, this week they've actually been running their Build conference, and they've been talking about some pretty cool stuff. I think that Microsoft really is upping their game in terms of what they're releasing and the quality of the products that they're putting out there. They came up with some HoloLens, which is basically a headset that you wear that creates interactive holographic environments, and they also released some pretty cool developer tools this week. But the bigger news, I think, was they've unveiled what is replacing Internet Explorer. They're calling it Edge, and you're right, we did talk about Project Spartan a couple months back. It's an entirely new browser, and they've done so much as to want to distinguish it from Internet Explorer and not give it the same name, because they do view it as an entirely new product. It's actually pretty good looking. It's got some cool stuff. It supports extensions and other functionality that we've kind of come to be expecting in other browsers.
Like a Chrome, right? Chrome uses
Chrome
the extensions.
And yeah. Firefox both have extensions, and it really enables you to do some great stuff when you're browsing. You can block ads. You can add additional functionality that the browser may not support natively. So it's definitely cool to see that. And they're also saying that they will be able to actually use Chrome and Firefox extensions fairly easily, so people and developers aren't going to have to rewrite them entirely for the Edge browser.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, well, we'll keep an eye out for that. And can I download it now, or do I have to wait?
You have to. I think you have to wait a little bit. It's going to be Windows 10, and you'll be able to play around with it there.
And aren't they going to give us Windows 10 for free? I heard that too.
They are going in that direction. I think that's a smart thing to do. Apple obviously has been kind of pioneering that path in terms of commercial operating systems that used to be paid for becoming free. So I think that for them to get a broader adoption and more people to get excited about it, not having to pay for it, obviously goes a long way.
You know something, Jeremy, that we do mindlessly is when we see an app, we just download and install it on our phone. We don't think twice about it. And I wonder if we're doing any damage, or we're handing over our phone to the bad guys.
Well, you could be. Symantec, which is a security company, just released their 2015 Internet Security Threat Report. And they're saying that 17% of all Android apps were actually malware in disguise. These are types of apps that will steal your contact info, even send out text messages to sign you up for different services where they add things onto your bill and you're paying $10 a month for fortune cookies and other silly stuff.
Yeah.
Some of them even change your ringtones to an advertisement. So when you get a call, They're playing an advertisement.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of garbage out there. They've also discovered something that is somewhat terrifying. It's the first mobile ransomware, where essentially if you install this app, your data gets encrypted, and you have to essentially buy back the key so that you have access to your information on your phone.
That's just wrong.
It's horrible,
it
right?
It is. Yeah, but did you say 1 in 5 apps is malware?
Yeah, they're saying 1 in 5 apps are malware in disguise. And this is the entire spectrum of Android apps, not just the ones that are in the Google Play Store. Obviously, there's, you know, thousands and thousands more out there. But they're also saying that 1/3 of all apps are either called madware or grayware. And essentially, you're just being bombarded by advertising just not a good thing. But the good news is it's pretty easy to stay safe. If you only install from the Google Play Store or a trusted marketplace, you then, of course, reduce your risk. If you're installing from some of the third-party stores or trying to, you know, get free things that, you know, should be being paid for, that's kind of the area where you definitely want to be really, really careful.
Gotcha. Okay. Everybody's excited to find out what this Apple Watch does and if it's worthwhile and all of that. And you promised me a hands-on report on this. Does that mean that you actually have one?
I don't have one on my wrist, and I will say that that I'm not terribly disappointed about that. I did go down to the Apple Store. I did spend about an hour playing around with them and checking them out, and you know, I'm still not terribly excited about it. You know, I love watches a lot. Yeah. I got into them a few years ago when I first heard about the Apple Watch was going to come out, because I'd never really worn a watch since I got a cell phone. I was always using that as the time.
Sure.
I wanted to start wearing a watch and getting comfortable with it. And really, now that it's here, I'm not all that excited about it. I did notice a few things when I tried it on. One is the size. I'm not sure if any of you guys wear watches, but they advertise it as a 42-millimeter watch, which is a pretty decent-sized watch. It's the size of the watch that I wear on a daily basis. But it's rectangular, right? And so what they're giving us is the vertical measurement, the top-to-bottom measurement, and not the side-to-side, which is how watches are typically measured. So when I put it on my wrist, I was pretty certain that the person that I was there seeing was showing me the wrong watch. I thought they were showing me the women's model because it felt really small on my wrist.
Oh.
But it turns out, because they're measuring it differently, you know, Apple being Apple,
yeah,
it's actually 36 millimeters wide, which is, if you know, you compare it to most of the popular watches these days, it's very, very small.
Right.
So I didn't really like that. It's kind of chubby, and in terms of the dimensions of the watch, it's a little tall for my taste, and really reminded me of the first iPhone, just miniaturized and shrunk down on my wrist.
Huh.
And the main thing for me, though, is that it's really an all-or-nothing thing, unless you're willing to wear two watches. I don't want to give up the manual, you know, imperfect, perfect watches that I love just to have the functionality that the Apple Watch does and have to charge it every night and so forth.
So is a relationship between Apple and Tagur, for instance, on the horizon?
Well, they're working with Google. They're putting together a Google Wear smartwatch. They actually just announced the pricing a couple days ago. That one's going to be somewhere in the $1,500 range. So,
nice. Who is Tagur is working with Google?
Yes, they are.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we'll see, you know, some better design. I don't like the shape of the Apple Watch. I think that had it been a circular watch, I probably would be a little more excited about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of rectangular watches.
Yeah.
And I think that both the hardware and the software is going to significantly improve over the coming months. So maybe version 2 will get me a little more interested. But at least at this point, I'm going to stick with winding my watches myself.
I wonder if you did this watch test that I've always done. This is how I know a watch is a keeper. And I don't know if they let you do this or they just think you're a weirdo if you do it in the Apple Store. But you strap on the watch and then you do push-ups.
Yeah, so here's some details about the try-on experience. One, they freak out if you start taking it off. They put it on you, and they take it off of you.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine if I would have jumped to the floor. They probably would have had me tackled by security.
Right, because when you do the push-ups, your wrist expands a little bit, and so if the wristband snaps open while you're doing push-ups, or if the position of your hand, now you're at a kind of a right angle to your arm, when you do that, if the watch crunches into your hand,
right. Right.
Then that's just not comfortable anymore, because you do move your hand around a lot during the course of the day. You're not doing push-ups, but you're doing other things, and the watch becomes cumbersome.
Right. You know, I will say that the quality of the straps was very high. The leather straps were very comfortable, although, you know, it's not a handcrafted, you know, one-of-a-kind leather piece that I might be looking for a watch. It's definitely mass manufactured, but it was very comfortable. The steel band was comfortable. It was pretty innovative. They did some really clever things with how you're able to resize the bracelet. You know, with most watch bands, you need to have special tools or a microscopic screwdriver to change the length of the band. This one has a single push button on each of the links where you're able to pull them out very easily. It was nice. It was nice stuff. But I think that for me, when they actually revise the hardware a little bit, revise some of the software, make it a little bit better, and we see some sort of killer app. Right now, there's everybody and their mom trying to create, you know, watch apps for this thing, but there really hasn't been a truly compelling, oh my gosh, I need that kind of moment for me. So Hopefully it will come.
All right, Jeremy, thank you as always, and we will talk to you again next week unless you want to stick around and hear the story of the 300-pound sea lion that attacked a fisherman.
Oh, I might enjoy that.
Okay.
I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for the tech. Take care. All right, that's Jeremy Anticuni. And, that story it's amazing to me to find out what it's about because I only know the headline. But when sea lions attack, you know, we're headed for Armageddon, aren't we? That's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here we go. It's the final segment of today's edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends. What a show it has been. I think we did our level best to just hold ourselves together because our senses were under attack. And imagine you're a fisherman on a boat or a dock or a wharf or whatever it is, and a giant sea lion, lion jumps out of the water and starts gnawing at your face and eating your flesh. Is that essentially what happened, Chris?
No, not exactly. Oh. Yeah. You embellish the imagery slightly. But right. That's your job as a radio broadcaster.
Yeah, trying to draw and paint pictures. Now, what exactly did happen?
Well, we're talking about a fisherman in San Diego, Phil. He was pulling in a huge yellowtail onto the side of the boat when a hungry sea lion jumped up, thinking he was going to get a quick meal, tried to grab the fish out of the guy's hand, ended up grabbing the guy's arm, and pulled him right over the edge of the boat and down into the water.
No kidding.
Yeah, and these guys, their jaws are very powerful.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This sea lion is lockjawed onto this guy's arm. He dragged him down 30 feet, underneath
That's
the water.
Scary.
Yeah.
The guy was underwater for over 20 seconds and finally struggled enough for the lion to let him go. You know, I guess he finally applied enough pressure or twisted around enough to where the sea lion let him go.
Or punch him in the whiskers.
I would be doing whatever it took, right?
Yeah, I'd pull on his whiskers, wouldn't you?
That would
punch,
hurt.
You kick. It's harder to do that underwater, but you do whatever you can.
Yeah.
The man said, as I was going down, I thought to myself, this is where I'm going to die.
Oh, and that's bad. That's like, that's the story that his great-grandkids would tell,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's such a freak thing that you would never expect to happen. So.
Yeah, and it makes you think, if you're out fishing, doesn't it make sense then to just have on standby, just in case, in the event something like this happens? No, a couple of beach balls. The seals.
Because they'll just stop and...
They love the beach balls.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. That's a great point, Phil.
Here, just have a beach ball instead of a tuna that I'm starving for. Because they're starving, apparently, a lot of these sea lions and things. They're hungry.
Yeah, they look like they're starving.
That's
is the guy
why all
okay?
The babies are on shore now.
Is the guy going to lose his arm? And are the authorities looking for the perpetrator?
The guy's okay. He did have to visit the hospital. He does now speak out about the aggression of sea lions. He encourages young people especially not to try to touch them or ride them or throw beach balls at them.
Well, let's ride a sea lion.
All right, fine. And for young sea lions, you know, follow the straight and narrow as well.
Yes.
Well, for a lot of those sea lions, I think if they follow these boats, and we're down here by the harbor, they'll get tossed some morsels.
But they are hungry. Like, it's a problem now that all the pups are coming up onto the shores because they don't have enough food and they're being abandoned by their parents.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hard world out there for sea lions.
It's a hard luck life.
It is.
For sea lions. All right, so away from the water animals and back on the ground, the four-legged type. And Aaron, we can always count on you for some of these stories.
Of course.
Where do we start? Dogs?
Dogs. Why not? In El Salvador, there was this dog named Ozo, and he's a stray, or Oso, and he's a stray, and he actually hangs out around a police station. Well, apparently a group of gang members came to the station with a grenade.
What?
Yes, with a grenade, and they were going to attack the station. Well, Oso ran up, I guess, and defended and fought off the gang members, and they were able to throw the grenade, but because of the dog, it didn't hit where they thought it would. And Oso was injured, but he was rushed to the hospital, and he survived, and now they're hoping that he can get adopted.
Oh.
And he's too old to be part of their canine unit, but apparently he'd like go out with the officers on calls because he was just sort of like the community dog. So they want him to find a permanent home, though.
Yeah.
Saved them.
What does Oso mean in Spanish? Any idea?
I'm looking. Bear.
Does it mean bear?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a big dog?
He's a cute, he's decent size, a big fluffy thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So that's a good story there. It seems like a... like a movie line, a slow motion. The dog jumps up and grabs the bad guy by the arm, you know, and the
throws himself in front of the grenade.
Yeah, exactly.
Or,
and then he goes to the hospital, and everybody thinks the dog's going to die. What movie was that?
There's been a few, I think.
Benji?
Benji? No.
Benji's awesome.
No, more of like a slow motion dog in the air. Oh, Air Bud.
There you go.
That's not saving anybody, though.
No, but he got hurt and everybody's crying. Then all of a sudden he jumped up and he's okay. He's licking everybody's faces. And yay, there's going to be an Air Bud, too. There's going to be an Oso, too.
I think there's
too.
Been like 10 Air Buds. So.
Yeah, okay.
By the way,
they're never ending.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. All right. I can't wait for the next one to come out, honestly. All right. So you had a dog story. Now, how about a cat story?
I do have one of those as well. Apparently, there was a mom kitty who gave birth to kittens too early. So the three kittens died, unfortunately. And the mom apparently became very, very depressed and was grieving and looking for the kittens and just, you know, not eating. So her owner called a rescue and said, hey, you know, my cat is suffering. What can I do? Well, the rescue found a woman who was fostering three little kittens, and they brought them over, and instantly, pretty much, the mom cat took to the three kittens. So now she has new kittens that she's taking care of, and they're a happy family, and there's all sorts of cute pictures of them together.
Yeah. How about that?
It's very sweet.
I like that.
It makes me want some kittens,
Wait
which
a
I don't really
no.
need anymore.
You don't?
Probably not.
You don't think you're up for some kittens because you just lost some of your cats?
I did lose one, and so...
Oh, just one.
Just one, but
right. still
I
a lot.
Still have five more.
One is a lot when you lose.
They are when they're your family, so my little Robbie.
All right. Well, no kittens.
No kittens for now.
All right.
For now.
Till we bring a box of them to the studio next week.
Yes.
You know where McCarmy... High school is? McCarmy High School is in West Texas.
Oh, McTexas.
Yes, McTexas.
McCarmy
High School in Texas. They had their prom earlier this month. We were talking about prom dresses earlier.
Yes.
Well, this is a completely different story.
Okay.
They said it was their best prom ever, but not because of the music or the decorations or some cheesy theme like Enchantment Under the Sea. Was that what do you remember what your theme was?
I don't remember, but I don't think it was Under the Sea.
Yeah, I think ours was Let's Get It On.
Of course.
The Adrian Alonzo is the quarterback of the McCarmy High School football team, and he decided to ask a girl named Cecily Prieto to his date, to be his date.
Okay.
At the prom, which is pretty cool because Cecily has Down syndrome, and it was not meant to be some kind of a prank. A mean prank, which you might suspect a football player might do, but I'm just stereotyping, I think.
Yeah,
I think
well, especially in today's day and age.
Yeah.
Football players can have hearts.
Not meant to be a mean prank. He just didn't want her to be left out. This is a good guy, Adrian Alonzo. So Adrian put five balloons in boxes and wrote on each one, so they spelled the word prom, with a question mark at the end. So there's the fifth one. because prom is four letters, but five boxes. Then he had Cecily open the boxes one at a time. He says his palms were sweating because he legitimately thought she might say no, but she accepted. Then once they got to the dance, the other students made her night even more special by electing her prom queen.
Very cool.
Their principal talked to the local news about this and said that he already knew the kids at his school were thoughtful and amazing, but what they did for Cecily makes him even more proud of the kids. So how about that?
I like that. There are good kids.
All the stories of depravity and sexualized stuff that we were talking about earlier in the program. Mm-hmm. Well, where was this story when we were stuck in that morass?
I don't know, but it's nice that we have it.
Mm-hmm, there you go. This is how you try to dig yourself out of that hole.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Like, listen here.
And something I just found. You were talking about cats a minute ago, and it's not on the website yet, but it better be there soon. We'll talk to the Web Munchkins about this. 8.5 minutes of cats behaving badly.
I have to watch that.
Do you?
Yes.
All right. Actually, it's 8.5 minutes of cats being jerks.
Yeah.
Which is even better.
Cats being jerks.
Yeah. I will warn you, there's a little bit of profanity in there, a little language.
From because, the humans that are being attacked.
Right. Yes. You know, and it wasn't over fish or anything like that.
They have their moments.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. All right. Anything else? Let me just check. Double check. Oh, if I'm driving through Ohio, Chris, and not driving necessarily, but if I'm walking around the street in Ohio, do I have to keep my drink in a paper bag?
No, you do not. They now have passed House Bill number 47 on Tuesday, which allows cities with more than 35,000 people to carry open containers and drink alcohol in public.
There you go. You can't do that in almost any part of the country now. Used to be fine, but or maybe it was against the law. They just didn't enforce it. But
well, you could do it anywhere as long as you don't get caught.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Or you say, I forgot.
No, this is not alcohol.
Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. At Twitter, we're at FAF Show. That's PHAF Show. And facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. If you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail on our website, too. Look for the blue tab. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.